Our next and final guest is an actor, singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist based in Toronto. Recent credits include Hairspray, Buddy, the Buddy Holly story, Avenue Q, and The Adventures of a Black Girl in Search of God. She is the co-artistic producer and co-artistic director of Her Story Counts, a theater company whose mandate is to provide a platform for diverse women to tell their stories on stage. And making her Belfry debut with I Think I'm Fallen, please welcome Evangelia Kambitz.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome to Victoria.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Now, can you tell us, Evangelia, it's always interesting to hear what led people into this line of work. How did you get started?
Sure. When I was a wee lass, my mother says that when she would nurse me, I would sing. I'd be humming. So sort of right out of the gates, I was already a fairly musically inclined individual. So I started young. I started with piano lessons at age 7 and voice lessons shortly thereafter. And I just sort of started. I was always around music. I was raised in the church, so I had a lot of liturgical music sort of in me right away. And then I started with piano and voice lessons, closely followed by ballet and tap, and everything sort of in between. And then middle school, more instruments came into my life. I was a busy kid, so I had a lot on the go musically, and I just started finding a love for performing.
Did you find, as you were doing all of these things, was there one that really stood out to you? You know, whether it was tap or, I don't know, or singing opera or a particular instrument, was there one that just shone above the rest as your favorite, or were you really into all of them?
In terms of a musical instrument, I played the saxophone for almost 10 years, and I loved playing the sax. My cousin is a very well-known Canadian tenor saxophonist, Chet Doxis, and he was my influence. I was like, oh, I want to be like you, and so I loved the saxophone. But in terms of what I always would come back to, it was certainly vocal singing. It was just singing. I loved to sing. I was always singing, always annoying my family because I would not stop singing. And it was my first sort of, I think, form of expression. Voice is the first form of expression that we have as people. So mm-hmm. It was the easiest way for me to communicate what I was feeling was through sound and through song coming from me.
And was the performance a natural as well? It may have been, but sometimes people are happy singing just in the bathroom or the shower or whatever. Were you a natural performer from an early age as well, would you say?
I think I was, yeah, for sure. I think that you know when your parents your parents are like, oh, but you're so talented, sing for the guests, and you're like, no, thank you. So there was a lot of that as a kid. Like, you know, my parents would be like, just sing a little something, and I wasn't a shy kid, but there was something about me wanting to do it on my own terms. I didn't want to be told to do it. But performing, you know, when I was a kid, my cousins and I would put on skits and stuff around the house all the time. So definitely inclined to perform, but as I grew up and sort of discovered my own authority and my own autonomy, I said, no, I'm gonna do it when I want to do it, and nobody's going to make me sing. I'm just going to sing if I want to sing.
So you got a wide range of skills, but you trained formally in opera, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And I wonder how that might transfer or not to singing, you know, works like Joni Mitchell. I guess what I'm wondering is, how do you go back and forth between genres? Did you essentially put some training out of your head, or does it all complement each other? How do they mix?
It's challenging. I haven't studied opera sort of in any sort of serious way in about 7 years, but I did all of my training classically, and I did my degree in opera as well. So all of the technique that you learn when you're studying classical voice is completely translatable to any form of singing. It's all the same. You're learning the physiology of your body. You're learning how your voice works with the different parts of you, how to support, how to use your diaphragm to sing, you know, a full note and hold it for, you know, 8 bars, 10 mm-hmm. bars, whatever, however long. So in terms of the skills that I learned while studying opera, they absolutely translate to what I'm doing here. The difference is with opera, I think there's an approach that's very, at least for me when I was learning, it was I would, you know, get my aria or my sheet music, and I would learn exactly what was on the page, note for note, you know, every single marking on the score, on the sheet music, you know, I would take into account. And so there was a very technical approach to how I learned how to sing. So now with musical theater or pop music, you have to chill. You have to relax. You have to be able to sink into the music in a way that I don't think I learned how to do when I studied opera. It came later. It came after I removed that sort of, and not in a negative way, but the rigidity of singing classical music.
So is that a good thing? Did you enjoy that? Moving away from the rigidity?
Yeah, I enjoyed moving away from it, but it's taken a lot of really hard work because I tend to get stuck in my head a bit, and then I think, oh, well, that wasn't supported. How dare I sing that way? And then I have to relax and say, no, it's open to interpretation. I'm allowed to explore and play. And part of this process with I Think I'm Fallen has been so challenging and so rewarding because Michael and Tobin have created this really safe creative space for us to just play. We can try and we can succeed and we can fail and we can put anything on the table and take anything off of the table. So it's been a really fun environment to just see what our voices can do and what we can do as artists without feeling any kind of pressure to get it right on the first try.
So what about your role in I Think I'm Falling? Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So I'm playing, I guess, the love interest of Jonathan Gould. She is fun and flirty and I wouldn't say desperate's not the word I'm looking for, but there's a longing for love and there's a longing to be loved and to love. And so she finds this man who she just is smitten with, you know, sort of right away. And it's this negotiation of trying to make that work with him, while also maintaining a sense of independence and respect for herself and not sort of falling at the feet of a man because you're in love with him. Like, that's great that you love him, but you can only ask somebody to love you back so much before it's like, ah, yeah, I'll be okay.
Yeah. So how did you go about preparing for the role?
I started off by, I bought Joni's Greatest Hits on iTunes and because I wasn't sure what was going to be in the show when I was originally cast. So I thought, well, let me just start somewhere. And I was familiar with some of her bigger songs, you know, Both Sides Now, Big Yellow Taxi, Chelsea Morning, River, those sort of like everybody knows those tunes. So I was familiar with those, but I certainly knew that I was not as well versed as I probably needed to be for this project. So I just started by listening to sort of the songs that she thought were worthy of a greatest hits record. And then from there, I sort of started to look through other albums, and then eventually we got the song list, and then I created a playlist of all the tunes in the show, different covers of them, not just her versions, but other people's versions, to see what had been done and what could be done.
Did that help, having other versions to listen to, rather than just one version by the creator of the song going
through
your head?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a killer cover of Woodstock by Eva Cassidy that just slays. It's so good. And Joni's version of Woodstock is haunting in its own right, but Eva's has this sort of like jazzy, bluesy edge that you wouldn't necessarily think to pick out of that tune. So for me, it was finding, and not that I have taken these bits and pieces of other people's covers, but it's really interesting to see what you can do. And there's a responsibility as an artist to be as true as you can be to what Joni created, because her lyrics and music are out of this world, while still taking ownership of your own version of it. So by expanding your resources and listening to all of the different kinds of covers that are out there, you can just sort of figure out what could work, what won't work, what would work for you. If you could do that vocally, maybe you can't, and craft your own version of this work that is really, it's an honor and a privilege to even get to touch her music, you know, at all. It's quite humbling.
Now, your voice, as you say, was the first way of communicating with the world, but instruments play a big role in this, as they do in all music, or
yes,
most music. What can you tell us about the different instruments played in the show, and how many of them do you play?
So we have I think across the board, 8 different instruments in the show, but you know, there are a lot of the same instruments. So there's a lot of guitars in the show. I play the piano and the guitar in this show, and I also play a killer tambourine for anybody who's interested in that. You just wait.
Does anyone have an auto harp?
You know, there's no auto harp. No. Okay. And there's a lot of different percussive instruments that we have going on too. So everybody's sort of bouncing around to different instruments and taking turns and handing things off, and it's pretty. We've created a ballet as in some way in terms of making this work.
Does it add to the stress or the fun, or how does having instruments and you being required to play them as well as singing and acting, how does that change things for you?
I was just talking to Anton Lipovetsky, who's in the show as well, yesterday about this. There is absolutely an added stress of not just accompanying yourself and singing, but the responsibility of having to make sure that everybody else has the music that they need to sing. And you're still you're singing yourself and you're acting. So there's a lot of moving parts that you have to make sure are 100%. So in terms of when we first started the process, it was really stressful to, like, you know, cut yourself the slack to, if you made a mistake, whatever, it's not the end of the world. Now that we're a few days away from previews and opening, it's much better. And we've all sort of settled into each other. We've found a groove, we're on the same wavelength. So it's nice, and we know that if we, you know, mess up a little bit, it's not the end of the world, and somebody else will cover for you. Mm. So we've got a really good, strong, tight-knit, collaborative team on that stage, which makes it feel really good.
You trust them?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
What's your favorite Joni Mitchell song? On this Saturday morning, I mean, these things change, but you know, you've come through this, you've learned a lot of her songs apart from the ones you already knew. I wonder what's your favorite now, and what might have been beforehand, how your impression of her music has changed.
Sure. So my favorite song now, and this is, you know, because of this show, is it's called If I Had a Heart, and it's from Shine from 2007, and it's a more recent album. I actually prefer the sound of Joni's voice in the last, you know, 20 years. I love the richness of her voice as she's gotten older. It really resonates with me. So If I Had a Heart is this gorgeous tune that is so reflective of what we're doing as people on this planet, and what we're doing to each other, and what we're doing to this really sacred planet that we get to call Earth, that we get to call home. It's a hauntingly beautiful song. So since discovering that in this process, it's like, it's bumped both sides now down a notch, which you know, is a very close contender, but Both Sides Now would have been my go-to before this process.
You talked about, we just got a minute left. I want to ask you about her voice and any impact that might have made on you, how it's changed over the years. Does that just make you reflect on, you know, whether it's your own voice or the years ahead of you? I just think it's so interesting how she has changed as an artist and even her voice itself.
Well, I think everybody else who's spoken today has sort of commented on her just being true to where she was at the time of whatever she was creating. So a lot of her older stuff and her first albums, she's got this sort of folky lightness to her voice. And I think a lot of that comes from the life experience that she had at that time. You throw 40 years onto that, and she's going to sing A Case of You, or she's going to sing Both Sides Now, and she's going to sing it with a completely different perspective. And I think that shows in her voice, not just in the vocal quality, but in the interpretation of the text. And I'm a sucker for, like, the, like, low raspiness of, like, an older woman's voice singing. It's just, to me, it's so, it's like the earth hugging you. And so that's, when I hear her now, I think of, like, this wizened woman who's just hugging me with her voice. Like, she's the earth that's like, there. It's fine. And she just envelops you and wraps you up. And her younger stuff, you know, makes me sort of giddy. Like, makes me just sort of, like, happy and ready to live in the now versus ready to reflect on what has been.
Evangelia, thank you for taking the time. I know it's busy preparation. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Evangelia Cambites is starring in I Think I'm Fallen, The Songs of Joni Mitchell, which runs at the Belfry until December the 4th. And thank you for coming, everyone, both here in the studio and out in the lobby and on Facebook Live. If you're on Facebook Live, you might have to go to the website, belfry.bc.ca, to buy tickets. But if you're here, they really are selling. I get no cut from this, just so you know. I'm not plugging this for any reason. It's just a helpful bit of advice. They are very close to selling out. So you want to get your tickets soon if you haven't got them. Thanks very much for coming, everyone.